Thanks for tuning into Upward Way Podcast. If you're looking to be spiritually blessed, moved, and inspired, there is no doubt you are in the right place. On our show, guests recount their encounter with Christ and how their lives have been transformed through the grace and love of God. And now, please welcome our host.
Hello and welcome to Upward Way. I am your host, Marlon Walters. My guest today is a Christian gospel recording artist, Cheval Franklin. Welcome to Upward Way.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Yes, it's a joy to have you as a guest, and my listeners wouldn't know this, but for years I've been hearing this voice, Cheval. So to have you as a guest, it's really a pleasure of mine. So I promise them that things will be awesome.
Amen. Amen. I'm looking forward to this interview. Thank you.
Yes, you're more than welcome. So I want to start first by asking, you know, where and when did your faith journey itself got started?
Well, you know, I guess I can look on it on two sides, because it really didn't take me becoming a born-again believer to my faith journey. Even though I was out in the world, I still had a connection with the Lord. That's why I couldn't run away, even though I was running like a thief in the night. He tracked me and I kept hearing his voice constantly saying, this is not my will. But officially when I started was really 25 years ago. I cannot believe the time ran off so fast. I expected something to have officially happened, but not the way it did. I was actually just leaving a tour and I came back to Jamaica to continue the tour. And I had rehearsed with my band, ready to sing Dancehall Queen and mash up the place like dynamite. But Jesus just decided to say, not tonight. Jesus just decided, like, girl, not tonight. This is my time. And so, you know, while I was expecting to do what I normally do, God invaded my space and he just took it over. And I remember just telling the people right here in Kingston, Jamaica, I just said to them, so listen, as of tonight, I'll be serving the Lord. So this was like 25, maybe 26 years ago. And glory to be to God. I am still here by the grace of the Almighty God.
Yeah, that's something, right? You said you were going to do that song. I think I can hear it playing in my head now. I'm a dancehall queen for life. Well, I'm happy God did step in and change things.
That's it. You know, I always say to people, you know, God is the original bad man, and everybody else can boast about how bad they are. But when God speaks, you know, when God speaks, the Bible says his word is proven. Nobody can undo what he says. I saw it go and it final, you know. So that was just God having his way. And I'm just grateful to God that he was so gracious that even when I was running, he was running with me. I couldn't outrun him, you know. So I'm just grateful to God for that.
Yes. And just for the listening audience who may not be familiar with something you said, you know, when you say you were going to mash up the place, all she's saying is that, you know, she was going to take down the roof, you know, that's how right. We express it, you know. So she being a big hit and ready, everyone is ready to listen. And then she says, I can't perform. So with that experience, you know, I've known of quite a few secular artists from Jamaica and other countries who have had that, you know, we'll say rebirth. So what was the, let's say, pushback or the reaction? Because I know it would have been twofold, both positive and negative. What would have been the response from the audience and, let's say, your inner circle, having learned of this decision at that point?
To be honest with you, my inner circle, which was secular, my secular friends who was in the secular music business, it didn't surprise them, because even I remember saying it, Shabarang said to me, but me to think you're not Christian from long time, you know, because I guess how the way how I would carry myself. And as I said, even though I was not yet fully committed to the Lord, there were certain things that I would do and certain things that I wouldn't do. So there was a little bit of good fruit that I was, people would see, and so it was evident. The only problem was trying to convince the church that I was truly saved, and that was the only confusing part, because there they were praying for God to bring souls in, and then when the soul come in, they start to question. They start to think, oh, no, sir, 6 weeks. We give her 6 weeks, we give her 2 months. When I should say also that there were some of them who were just grateful to God and was just praying for me to have sustainability. So it was kind of mixed, but I thank God for all of them, because those who didn't believe, I was even more focused to push, and it pushed me into having an intimate relationship with God more than watching people's opinion, how they feel, and what they think,
So in essence, some of the believers are actually unbelievers. They or well, let me not say they, because I'm a believer. Let me say we pray for things, but we don't understand what we are praying for, and we don't even believe that our prayers can be answered. We are thinking we are praying, but it's based on our own understanding. And you know what the Bible says, we should not lean to our own understanding. Yes, your response.
That's definitely it. I mean, there are many Christians that they have not grown in their faith. They have not grown in their faith. They will say what they need to say, but if you really check the core of who they are faithless people. They are sight people. And so it is what it is. And all you have to do when you grow in God is to really pray for them, that God will, help them to go beyond the physical, and believe the God of the supernatural, that God can raise any dead, God can undo any destiny, God can, take the worst and make them the best. And even looking on their personal life, that's the reason why they shouldn't even put anything past God, because God didn't pick them up from on the cloud nine. He picked them out from, some of them were taken from some places that, my God, not even Satan did want to go down there. Yes, you know what I'm saying? Some of them were in some places that if it had not been for God, and they know, but it's just that they have easily forgotten that, where God reached down and take them from. But the Bible said the wheat and the tear will grow together until the day of harvest. So you just kind of just see it and recognize, they're just there, and you just pray them through and hope for change.
Yes, that is so true. We have been pulled from the quagmire of sin. But sometimes to listening to even that text, the wheat and the tares growing to the day of harvest, many persons don't understand farming. They understand eating. So even that concept for them, sometimes it's lost on them. Anyways, I won't spend too much time in that aspect of your past. I want to.
Go as the Lord leads, because everybody's listening, and different subject matter might be the very thing that will pull them closer to the Lord or make them start to look self-introspect. So go as the Lord leads, don't worry.
I go forward and back as is
Right.
necessary.
And
But
then
I want to spend a little time now about your musical journey, because as you have just outlined, it's twofold. It started out in reggae dance hall music, and person may say, what is he talking about, reggae dance hall? Yes, Jamaica is known for reggae, but there's an aspect of reggae or a spillover, which is really dance hall. It's a little bit different. But you have to understand the music to know. And then now to say catapult into gospel recording. So I want to hear a little about that musical journey, that transition, which of course would have taken place with your faith journey as well. So wherever you want to start along that part, you may.
All right, so I can start from really being born into one of the slums of Jamaica, into one of the garrison of Jamaica, from a very poor family. I mean, there was nothing that I saw that was motivating, but enough bad was happening to make me feel like this could not be it. Oh my God, there must be more. Even as young as 5 years old, I remember seeing a lady passing through the garrison, and I followed her home. I decided, I don't know, I don't care who this lady is, but she looked good. And at 5 years old, she was passing, going to church. She took a shortcut through the garrison to go to church. And I remember just lay waiting her, watching her. And I decided that one day I'm going to just follow her home. And that day came.
So for garrison, when you mentioned garrison, you're talking about inner city or slums, right?
Inner city, because there is also slum in the inner city,
Okay.
hardship, rough thing, even provide food on a daily basis was rough. So I'm actually coming from that space, but I was very determined, glory to God, to make something more of myself. I was very determined, as I said, even as a young girl. So I followed this lady home, and thanks be to God. When she first saw me, she said to me, "Oh my goodness, little girl, where you come from? Where you come from? Where's your mother?" And I remember just telling her, "My mother is up the road." She traced back my steps, and I begged her for me to stay with her. Eventually, she spoke to my mother, and my mother told her, "All right, you can take her." That was how determined I was at 5 years old. And I tell you, it seems like I was on an assignment and I didn't know. The moment that lady told me yes, I asked her if she could ask her friend to take my other sister and her other church friend to take my other sister and her other church friend to take my brother and her other church friend to take. And so my siblings, at least five of them, got clear out of the garrison one by one. And through that, we were able to go to school, a bit.
I have to interject. So you are saying
A
that
lot, right?
you were formally adopted, but in an informal way.
In an informal, yeah, it didn't, nothing went through, no system, no, nothing. In Jamaica, them time, the most people, that's what they call adoption. Nothing was formally done. You just and find yourself at somebody's yard. We have a nice bed and can feed you and, treat you well. But it was all God's doing, and I didn't know, because through me going to that lady's house, I was able to experience life. I didn't know that you can have two pair of shoes. I didn't know that you can have three dresses. I didn't know about flush toilets or, light switches and stuff like that. I'm saying that to tell you how far low down the chain I was. And also, this lady was able to introduce me to Jesus because I started going to church. I knew nothing about Jesus before. All I knew about was Rhea Nephew. All I knew about Rhea Nephew is alcohol. I know of that because a lot of marijuana smoking. That was all that was happening around me, and constant swearing or gunshots. And the politics in Jamaica at the time was really, was really much. So there was a lot of political violence at that time also. So God used this lady to bring me into that space where my appetite was open for greater possibilities, and I was determined to do what I needed to do. So then eventually I decided one day, you know what, I'm going to sing. And this started when I was probably about 13 years old, and I didn't pursue music, honestly, because I felt like I was a good singer. I just felt like this is it. This was what I wanted. And that's how I started doing music, coming to Kingston, did my first recording at 13 years old, a song called Here I Am that didn't come out until I was 15. And after coming to Kingston, I got to work with some of the most prestigious Jamaican producers like Steely and Cleavey, King Jammies. You may not know those people, but those people are icons in reggae music. And, I give honor to who honor is due. They helped to
Yes,
put a lot of
I know the
money on the
name
map.
King
Yeah.
Jammies.
Yeah, man, Black Scorpio was able to work with everybody that was in the music business. And then I ended up doing, my name became a household name, and doing songs with Miss Shabaranks called Mr. Loverman. Then I did Dancehall Queen with Beanie Man. And I've worked with so many people, you name them. So life was looking up, life was getting better, but there was just this constant void. And I kept saying to God, even though I felt the void and I knew what it was that could fill the void, I kept saying, God, just give me some more time for me to make some money that me can help myself more and help my family. Because that was what was on my mind. And that was what I was pursuing. But every time I got close to something, the door would close. And I felt like the message was very clear. That God knew that if I had gotten access to a certain level of door, the possibilities that my soul would be totally, utterly lost. Like I would not be interested in God. You know, so I was in the room, but I was almost like I was overlooked. Like there was a veil. You know, I was where everything was happening, but there was like a veil. But I got enough to, you know, to survive and to live and to eat. But that next level, and I remember. It went on so till I was probably about 29 years old. No, 27 years old. And so when the movie Dancehall Queen came out, myself and Beanie Man was set to promote the movie. We went to Paris, we did all of Europe, we went all over the place. But the more we traveled, the more God kept showing up, you know, his voice became clearer. And clearer, and I kept hearing words like, "What does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul?" And I'm like, "Lord, I know better. So if I die, I cannot say that I did not know. If I die, I cannot say, God, I didn't hear. Because one thing with God, He is gracious, gracious enough to let you hear for you not to harden your heart and to hear, you know, to come to Him. But if you continue in the way, and I continued until one day we end up in New York City at the Apollo Theater. And there was this young woman who was singing before me and Beanie Man. And it was a Christian girl. And she went up. Now, this is a whole message in itself because of what happened. And I want to address that part because that part is a very, very important part for people to hear as born-again believers. And so when the woman went up, she started singing a song called "The Safest Place in the Whole Wide World. It's in the Will of God." I knew God sent that woman for me. All I could hear, I did not hear any other thing that she was singing more than that one word. "The safest place is in the will of God." And I said, "God, my God, Lord." And I remember just saying, "All right, Lord, use me like that one day." So I was just talking to God. And then I felt dirty having to go up after the lady singing, "She's a dancehall queen for life." But I did it. And it was 2 weeks after I went back to Jamaica. And then I ended up just saying, "You know what? I can't run anymore. God, this is it. Lord, all right, Daddy." And that's how. But what I wanted to address, though, is to gospel mu music ministers, and not just to music ministers, but to born-again believers. It is very important that you manifest your assignment. It was through that lady assignment. She, being the Christian woman in a secular environment, she didn't come to fit in. Many times as Christian, God sent us into places in the byways and in the highways, and what we do to appease the crowd. We do what the crowd already want. We do what the crowd want. But this woman, she stood in the place of our assignment, and that is the word, that if God opens, permits a door to be opened for you to go anywhere in this world and to speak about the gospel of Jesus Christ, don't withhold it. Don't do not not do it because you're afraid to offend anybody, because it was through that woman's obedience. It's almost like her voice and her obedience lift whatever cloak, that whatever spiritual garment that was weighing me down into procrastination, that lifted it from me and pulled me even closer to God.
That's a very beautiful story. I know all the experiences were not beautiful, but it's a really beautiful story. And I really have to follow on what you said, that when you are given an assignment as a servant of God, you should not withhold from doing it, because it's true. This concept of wanting to fit in, it's really dangerous. But the same way, when I go places and someone asks, where are you from? I'm going to always identify as a Jamaican. It's a full-time thing. So as a Christian, we should
Same thing.
consider ourselves, full-time minister. It's not because you're not the pastor or the
That's
elder
right.
or whatever. As
That's
a
right.
believer, you're a full-time missionary
There's no
ministering.
garment change. There's
Yes.
no clothes change. It's permanent. That's supposed to manifest the fruit of the Spirit and you walking in divine assignment. It's not just when you have a microphone in your hand and you're on stage or around, and people can see you. That is who you are and you manifest it. And if many more Christians were aware of what they ought to be, need to be, there will be more people being led to the Lord. The harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few because some of the laborers are waiting for somebody else to come and do it. When that assignment, I remember one time a sister of mine said to me, Christian sister, my blood sister, said to me, Chevelle, you're just busy ministering into the world, going out into the world, and look at the people around here. So, what happened to the people around here? This is the people in her neighborhood, So I said to her, so you want me to come and do your assignment? You're not dumb, you're not deaf, you're a born again believer. So because I'm a gospel music minister, you want me to come and do just to preach what God has anointed you and give you the assignment to do. So some people, they are not mindful of the presentness of the present time and what is required of them. And I just believe in this season, people better wake up. If you were sleeping on it before, you better get up because something has shifted in the atmosphere. The signs is all around. The signs is all around. The Bible says, watch and pray. It didn't just say pray. It says, watch and pray. Something is happening. There's an end coming. Jesus is coming back, whether the devil likes it or not. He's coming back. And what did you do with the time that he gave you to work, to work, to work the ground, to till the soil? What did you do more than waiting on somebody else to come do what you have to do? And oh, sorry, it's because you're on international. Let me just, break down the
Why should you wait
tandem.
for someone else? So when Chevelle says Standish, she's saying, you can stay there and think someone is going to do what you should be doing for you.
That's right. Good.
Yes, we're international, so you're going to get multiple languages. And yes, Chevelle, myself, we are Jamaicans, but we do also speak Jamaican patois, so you'll hear a bit of that from time to time. I want to continue along this path, but there is something I really want you to maybe add further clarity to, with that, would say informal adoption. So someone hearing you talk about you just meeting this stranger, growing up, we were taught to avoid strangers. And I know you were taught that they are same thing, because strangers are, dangerous. But for someone in the maybe 1960s, 70s, 1980s, maybe up to even the 1990s, there would have been multiple occasions of just meeting a random stranger at the market. And for some reason, the child or the parent finds this person to be someone they think they could trust, and they would just hand them over informally for adoption. And many of those persons have said, yes, it was really God himself. So if you could just explain a bit about, what was it like back then, and what was it about this woman and members of her church that would have caused her to think, this person is really worth taking into my home?
You know what? Ever since I was a little girl, I was very somehow I would call it the spirit of discernment. I had a very strong discernment. It's almost like I could see things that many people couldn't see. So, and also remember I said to you, I was watching this woman. I was looking on The way how she carried herself and the way how she would just be so committed to going to church. And it's not that you can trust all of that because you have wicked people that carry themselves very well. But there was just, I would also have to say, it was God who pulled me to this woman. And even the transition of she saying yes to me was normal because, and it so happened that this woman was childless. I didn't know this woman was married and she was childless because when I met her, she was
Blessings
in,
of God,
yeah, she was in
God's
her 60s.
providence.
That's right. So it was like God supernaturally, supernaturally connected me to this woman. And even her assignment in my life was that the seed would be planted about, as I said to you. Before I met this woman, I never heard of Jesus. Every other God I heard about, weed, alcohol, bad word, But this was the person that God had ordained for, Remember, she was saying, you are so determined. Remember, I was 5 years old. But somehow I knew that this was what I needed. And I also can tell you that God was ahead of this thing because I needed this woman more than I thought. More than I knew. I needed, she was a destiny helper for me as I was to her. I became her company, I became her friend, and God used her to start sending me to school. And trust me, this is something that happens around the world with many other people. And at them time, the Jamaica was kind of a safer place. But just everything was just God because, as I say, there was a bedroom there that nobody else lived in, and it was just me, her, and she had her nephew living there, which we hardly stayed there. And I can tell you this, everything wasn't perfect, but it was good enough for what God wanted to plant in me. And I'm just thankful to God for that.
Praise him for his providential care. So now to the sweet part for the listeners. You've been doing gospel music for well over 25 years, as you outlined previously. So what has been that experience? Where has this taken you? And later on, you could tell us about your latest project, because I've been listening to this song for the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay.
So, but don't rush it first,
No
let's wait for
problem.
the last 25 years or so. Where have you been so far?
Thank you. When I got saved, the first thing I said on that night when I said, Lord, okay, I will serve you, Lord. I saw a move of the Lord when I started the very night when I got saved, and I told the people, I will not do this anymore and I'll be serving the Lord. And I remember instead of singing my secular song, I had one gospel song that I knew, a song called Silver and Gold. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. And I remember singing that song. And then while I was singing it, I could see people being convicted. And I thought, my God, there is something greater than me that's doing this. It's not my voice. So I knew that God had great plans, but at the time it was very difficult to, I didn't have the faith, to trust him the way I ought to. But me say, boy, I'm not even one day old and I got a mind gone there. So, but one other thing I struggled with was, God, what's going to become of me? Now that I am serving you, I know I can't wear what I used to wear. I can't do the songs that I used to do. What would make me eat, pay my bills? I'm like, Lord, I don't know. How am I going to manage? And that was my concern in the initial stage. And then the process that I went through was the stripping. I started having to count the pennies, Mr. Baba. And then while
So
reading
I have to provide some interpretation
yes.
again. So, that is another expression, mebaba, meaning it's like, wow, what is happening here? It was intense. Carry on.
Although Baba in the African Igbo language means father, but in Jamaica we
Yes.
have a different meaning for it. It depends on how we
Yes.
use But then I started to, when I started to read the word, and it says, if he provides for the
For the
birds and
sparrows.
the sparrows, why am I? And then I had to just start to use the word as my food, not just read the Bible because I'm reading the Bible. I had to believe that this, what God says, it is so, that I must not be worried, that I must not be dismayed. He will help me. He will uphold me with his righteous right hand. And I tell you, God has been so kind. After the first year or 2 years of struggling and getting to know God and all of that, God started opening doors in all of Africa, Nigeria, Kenya, Tanzania, Zambia, Zimbabwe. I was just going all over the world, Canada, all the Caribbeans, you name them, America, all the states, Europe, you name, I mean, some of them, Australia, even Japan. I came back to Japan. God just started doing great and mighty things. And so I can tell you, it pays to serve the Lord. And why it pays to serve the Lord is to know that after everything is said and done, because it's not just about a financial reward, it's about eternal life. It's knowing that I am free. With the sunset, free is free indeed. I'm free. I don't have to worry about, Lord, if I'm dead, me know me not go to heaven, because that was it. I know I won't be going to heaven, but no, I am free. No more chains. The enemy is not my, the devil is no longer my father. That has been my journey, and just to see how God has been sustaining me. And there are people who are listening to you that have, is in the position that I used to be in. And they're thinking, God, how am I going to live? How am I going to survive? But I tell you, God has, Jeremiah 29, 11 says, for I know the thoughts I have towards you. So it don't matter where you go, God's thoughts towards you is good and not of evil. There's hope and a future, a glorious future. You cannot serve God and be put to shame. The devil is a liar. You will live well because of the goodness of God. You will see the goodness of God in the land of the living, in your finances, in your health, in your family. You know what I'm saying? So all you have to do is to commit your ways into the Lord and to walk holy and be obedient to Him and watch God clear every crooked path. You will not suffer shame. So serve the Lord today.
There are two things I want to pounce on. The first one, I know you cleared that up long ago. There's a concept among many individuals, Christians as well, that when a secular artist transition and become a gospel artist, it's because they are broke. No, nothing
Oh
is happening
dear.
in their life. But you see, at the point when you made that transition, you were at the peak, of your career. And you had to trust God because, as you said, you were now penniless after making that transition, but God has provided. And the
They are
important.
so misinformed. They are so misinformed because one of the things is that, first of all, in the world, they are more givers than the church. That's fact. I mean, what I experienced, they are more, it's just a sad reality. But in the world, you have people who will genuinely care. And yes, in the church, there are people who care. But if they keep holding on to the fact that is when you're broke, you come into church, they are so misinformed. Because if you were getting five in the world, you're coming into church and you're getting two, or not even 2,000, but 200. And the endless charity events you're called to do, while sugar going up, rice gone up, flour gone up, and they're not even thinking that, you know what, this person is in full-time ministry. Let me be what I need to be as a kingdom mindset. You see, that's the difference. The difference with somebody who have a kingdom mindset understands their assignment, but when you have church, just religious, you can't see as a kingdom person. See, so you will speak folly and don't even realize that you are so you are so wrong in your error. You're standing wrong and strong. So they really need to come off that. Because I hear people say it all the time. Well, it's because people broke. People can be broken in the world and make money because there are things they can do. They may not want to do all that, but there are things that they can do to eat and to survive. It's just that you know that when you come into Christ, I'm no longer a slave to sin. So the things I used to do, I do them no more. Like when I got saved, there were songs that I could sing. There were dub plates that I constantly get calls to do dub plates. And up to this very day, to sing the same songs that I used to sing. And I said, no, because I'm not of that kingdom anymore. And they're willing to pay me if the and sometimes when the church call you, it's a different story. Oh, we're trying to fix the roof. We want to add a bathroom. And you understand what I'm saying? So they kind of not balance with their conversation on that.
In a bit, I'm going to allow you to address this misconception that many people of faith have that when you do ministry, it should be something voluntary and there should be no even financial reward. But when I look at when Jesus sent his disciples, he said, "Take no change of garment, take
All
no
right.
script, take nothing from your journey, for your journey. And wherever you stop and you are received, that is where you should stay. But
Right.
wherever you are not received, when you go, you should, shake
That's it.
even the very dust." So people should understand that as a full-time minister,
Right.
you are working for Christ. Yes, you're volunteering, you're not focusing on making money. But at
Right,
the
right.
same time, this is how you should be sustained. So I think many people have the wrong concept that when
Right.
you do ministry, it's just that you are volunteering. So if you are
But the sad part about it is that even if you don't have an understanding, the depth of it, the part that is so mind-boggling is just the fact that, I'm a born-again believer and I'm a giver. And even if I see the man take up something off of the road and carry, like help me with something, it's natural for me to bless him. It's so I don't get it if they know that somebody, this is what they do and they don't want to honor them. But I should also add that there are ministries who have come into the revelation, that they are encouraging those saints in the Lord who are in music ministry and they're being a blessing to them. They are being such a blessing to them that they don't have to go back and ask their friends outside to help them, but because they understand that in kingdom we take care of each other. So thank God for those ministries who understands.
Amen. Powerful. So then, with that being said and done, I wanted to share about your newest album, and there's a certain singer. So the title of the album is South Wind Volume 1. And, well, a few months ago, you released a single, Jesus Wins. But this album, I have but done some reading, and it's in English and Zulu. And Zulu is one of the official languages of South Africa. So, do you speak Zulu as well?
Well, guess what? Years ago, I've been to South Africa and I produced an album there for a friend of mine, a pastor, Elias Andeda. And I remember getting to meet so many different musicians and gospel artists slash artists over there. And the level of artistry, the level of excellence that I experienced, I said, God, one day I'm coming back here to South Africa to do a gospel album. And that was the time, even though it took 15, 16 years later, I went back and, that album was done in 3 days. Although, to be honest with you, I went there with the intention just to do three songs. And when I got there, as clear as day, I remember hearing the Spirit of the Lord saying to me, the heavens are open, take. And it turned from 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 to 7 to 8. And normally an album can take months. And this album is excellent. The breath of God is on it. God breathed upon it and just favor just brought everything together. This is all God. Even the name of the album, when I was leaving, South Africa, I remember just standing in the pathway to my seat, heading to my seat, and I remember just whispering to God, I'm like, I wonder when we're going to name it. And all I heard was South Wind, and I was like, oh wow, okay. And then I started thinking, what does South Wind mean? And when I got to London, I left South Africa, went to London, and when I got there, I started to do some research. And I was just so amazed because at one point I thought the reason why he said South Wind was because the album was done in South Africa. But it was more than that. The South Wind is the fire of God. The South Wind is the wind that brings heat, which means it's a revival. So I'm like, God, all right, we're going to run with this. And it's in your hands. And I'm so grateful for where and what it has been doing. There's so much positive feedback. The
They have
album is
eyes, but
officially
they cannot
out.
see.
It's available on all digital
They
platforms.
have
And
ears,
one
but they
of the
cannot
singles
hear.
is Jesus Wins.
But you, O
I've
Lord,
had
you
more
reign
singles off it,
supreme, you
like
rule,
I
you will.
Prevail. That has really
You're the
brought people through the
greatest in
pandemic.
all the
That
earth.
single was out while the pandemic was going on. And God has been using this album to do amazing things. And I'm grateful to God that it got into your hands so that you can able to play it and bless the people with it.
Yes, and
Mighty
as we go through the interview, that one will be played, below, so the
Right.
listeners will be able to enjoy, this one, Jesus Wins. So then, with all that comes with ministry, there will be ups, there will be downs, there will be moments of, I wouldn't say stagnation, but things are going a bit slowly. What would you say would have been one of your biggest challenge as a Christian? I don't want to put music on it, but as a Christian, what would have been one of your biggest challenge? And in the same breath, what has been your strategy for overcoming such a challenge?
I think one of my biggest challenge being a Christian in is my brothers and sisters not really walking with integrity. It bothers me. Yet I know that these things will happen, and as I continue to grow and mature, but it still, kind of just rubs me the wrong way. And I remember at one time I was feeling so depressed and so downtrodden because people's word meant nothing. Because, as I said to you, even before I was a Christian, my word meant something. I was very integral. And so coming in the body and to meet upon all of that, I just felt like, oh my God. And so I still go through a bit of it where I think, really, the untogetherness, the disunity, it still bothers me. But I'm just doing what I need to do and being who I need to be. So that has been my struggles, not seeing how people refuse to serve God, to serve God well, even in the spirit of humility, is not there among the body the way how it ought to. So that has been my struggle with seeing that, and that has just been the main thing for me, that has been bothering me. And unfortunately, there's not enough growth among, especially my diasporan people, where we don't want to go excellent. Yes, some of us are growing, like in the terms of the production, like the producing of gospel concerts. Some of us not really setting it on a better platform. Things and times have changed. We need to start representing God well if we're doing a concert together. Get proper equipment. You know what I'm saying? You get called to do a ministry engagement and the mic not right, the sound not right. So those are things that we need to, guys, we need to get it together on that part. So,
Well, you ask if I understand, and I think I understand, but I will do a follow-up to ensure. So you're basically saying that when gospel artists, collaborate to do a show, sometimes the professionalism is not where it's supposed to be. So sound is not at the highest quality. Maybe even if there's equipment, it's not the best. So when someone listens to a Taylor Swift concert, even if they don't like what she's producing, the audio quality and the time management, etc., it's superb. But for
Yeah, because
the
they represent the kingdom well, and don't get me wrong, it's not everybody, but just too much
Yes,
of it.
sure.
And then everybody wants to put it on YouTube, everybody wants to put it out in social media, and are like, why would you put out something and every minute there was a feedback? Why would you put out something, the light's not working good? Why would you know what I'm saying? These little things, and I'm like, no, it's time to grow up in God. If we're gonna represent God, let us represent Him. Just as you were saying, if it was a Taylor Swift concert or a Rihanna concert, and then somebody will say, but they have money. But sometimes the ministries do have money, but them just don't care about that part. And you have to care about all parts. Once it is God you're doing it for, you must do better. If you can do better, sometimes they said it's their best, and it ain't their best. It's just one of those things. But God will help us. God will help us.
Yes, but there's a Bible verse, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ. There's another one that came to mind. Okay, whatever your hand, yes, that's from Ecclesiastes, I think chapter
Whatever you
9.
find, your hands
Yes.
find.
Yes, whatever your hand finds to do it with all your might.
Good.
And this speaks to doing things in an excellent manner. So it's not doing things because, oh, I can do it and I feel good. But we should do it with all our might, offer the best quality in service to God. And I think that's what
Yeah.
you are saying right there.
Yes, that's right. That's it. Thank you, my friend. That's exactly what I'm saying. You say it very diplomatically. Yeah. Yeah, so those are some of the issues, the struggles that I have.
I'm gonna maybe toss two more questions. I haven't even had to ask you too many questions. But this speaks to advice that you would give to individuals who have been called to ministry and maybe uncertain, wondering like you did, how am I gonna survive? How am I gonna be able to pay my bills? How am I gonna be able to finish university? Whatever the concept is, take a few minutes to talk to them about how God provides for his chosen.
David said it beautifully. He said, once I was young and now I'm old, and you've never seen the righteous. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or see begging bread. And as I was saying earlier, I had to come into not just reading the word, but having an understanding of the word, that God takes care of His own. Yes, you must have a plan, you must have strategy, but once God has called you to it, He will prosper you in it. You understand me? He will take care of you. So it's very important to understand, first of all, that this is God's calling, this is the assignment for you, because a lot of people, a lot of people are walking in things that they're not assigned for. God never called them to it. There are people who are engineers, that's not their assignment. They're supposed to be songwriters. And there are people who are songwriters, that's supposed to be engineers. There are people, so a lot of misplacement is going on. And then they get frustrated, like, God, what is happening? I've been trying this and I've been pushing. And God said, that's not what I called you to. That's not what I call it, to find the time. Because even when I got saved, the first thing I did was to really spend time and ask God if this is the place He wanted me to continue in, which is to sing. It was very important for me. And when I got the release in my spirit, the peace in my spirit, I said, all right, God, me glad of that, because I don't know what else me gonna do. I was like, God, I thank you that singing is what it is, because. So it's very important. And I say, a lot of people are frustrated because they are not in their assigned place. They're not in their purpose place. They're in the place that they like. Because sometimes the purpose place is not somewhere that you're naturally drawn to. But if it's, if you really spend time with the Lord and you get that peace, no matter how difficult it is, you're going to pursue it because you know you're not alone. You're going with God. So not just see something that you like and want, do it and, just run good with, oh, okay, well, I supposed to do this. No. Has God released you into it? Did God release you to do it?
So it's about knowing that what you are doing is really what God wants. And that is critical because you can be called to ministry, to music ministry, and as you have just said, but you may be called to be a producer, a songwriter, a manager.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that's right. But everybody wants to go where they think the money is.
yes, the
Too
PR
many people.
person,
That's
but
right.
your role
That's
in
right.
this aspect is not to be on the stage, even though you may have one of the best vocal
Oh, yes.
vocability.
That's right. Because you can also have the gift of music and your character is nasty. You don't like people. God ain't sending you nowhere. God ain't sending you nowhere with that character until him break you down to humble yourself and then release you. God have to work on you first.
We are heading close to November now, which in North America is the period of Thanksgiving. But following on, if you're not in North America, December is not too far away, which is, the end of the year, Christmas season, when people are grateful. So if you could give God thanks for a couple of persons who have entered your world, usually I'd ask for one, but with your story, I can't limit it to one. If you could give God thanks for a few folks, you have met along your life journey. Who would those persons be? And maybe also, why are you so grateful for God sending these folks into your life?
Well, I'm going to say this person, which is my husband. And believe me, I'm not just saying it because he's my husband. Because naturally, when you're married, the first thing they're going to say is their husband or their wife because they want to be politically correct or whatever correction. But I'm saying
Yes.
that right because they don't want to get in no trouble. But for me, it was my husband that I knew it was God who brought him into my life because he did what I didn't know to do. He is the one with the vision that God, I'm so reserved and he is not. He carries a spirit of excellence. I have grown so much because of this man. In Jamaica, we have a thing where we say, no man, it's all right. Not him. We don't settle for it all right. It has to be excellent. It has to be. And if it's not done well, we're not going to put it out until it is done well. And so it contributed to my success. It contributed to my growth. And it also contributed to how I saw God. Also, just the way how he believed, the faith that he has to believe God. Oh my God, it was what I need in my life to see somebody that would walk with God that way. That was such a motivation for me. And the next person I must thank God for was
But
my mother.
what's Chevelle? Is it that you don't want to say his name? I'm not forcing you to.
Colin Watts. You spoke to him earlier, Colin Watts.
Yes,
He's
you need
also
to.
my manager.
Okay.
And every time I look on him sometimes, we've been married for 20 odd years. And I look on him sometimes and I say, God, boy, you really know what that do because I know that I could not have gotten to this far without this man. And you have to give due to Caesar what's due to Caesar. I know if I had married somebody else, it would have been a different story and may not have made the impact because of how God prepared him for me. And so that's why you can't marry any and anybody because everything is about destiny. So the next person I will say is my mother. God is good to me. I thank God. I look at my mother all the time and I say, boy, God, you know why you gave this woman. As much as she was not the best mother and she was not in my life for a long period, I bless God because the gift that He has given to me was a gift she had. But life and its challenges came. And she didn't have no push, no support, no nothing, and everything went different way. And so God trusted her womb to carry me, and I got the gift through her. You know, it was handed down to me. I bless God for my mother. And for the few supporters, the supporters that I have, the fans who kept, you know, who keep sending me messages via YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. I thank God for each and every one of them, including yourself.
Amen. I love the way you do it. You know, in Jamaica, we have a saying, big up everybody, meaning shout out, you know, thanks to everyone for their
Everybody,
support.
that's right.
Yes.
Everybody play a little part.
Yes. Well,
All the people don't want to like you, play a little part.
yes, even the enemies, eh?
That's
So,
right.
Cheval, it has really been a pleasure. I would say not talking, but listening to you and your words of wisdom and counsel.
Thank
And, you
you.
know, sometimes, oftentimes, we only get to hear the voice, the song of a success, but we don't get to hear the journey. And hearing the journey helps us to even understand and appreciate more what is being done, realizing that, you know, hard work really brings success. And no one who is at the top of his or her game is able to do it just because of just talent. The work has to be put in. And as you said, you know, your husband is one who speaks to he doesn't stop until it's excellent. You know, if the song sounds good, then you know you haven't done anything else. When it's excellent, then you know it's ready to be put out. Thanks for taking the time out to share. So, my listeners, we have been speaking to Cheval Franklin, Christian gospel recording artist. She has been in
Thank
music for many years, but for the last 2.5 decades, she has been doing gospel music. Please go check out her music. Download and share with others. But Chevelle, as is customary on this show, before you go, do you have any parting words to share with our listeners?
Most definitely. There's two words I have. The first one is, I want you to know, and I'm telling you with confidence in my heart, and this word is for all of us, that our best is yet to come. The Bible also says that though our beginning was small, our latter will increase abundantly. I know you may be going through a rough patch right now, or you know it's been a long ride, but I'm telling you, God is not through with you yet. There is so much more that is ahead of you that's going to bring glory to God. So I want you to trust the Lord while you are going through this valley situation. The situation may be a financial situation. The situation may be that you're struggling, you know, in your health. The situation may be that your family is not together, your son's not saved, your daughter's wayward. Or the situation may be that you're even homeless or about to be, or something terrible. But I'm telling you, it's not over. Every suffering has an expiration date. And I believe somebody is coming into that expiration date right now. There is so much more that God has in store for you. Look up because God has not forsaken you. Do not be discouraged because God is with you. God loves you. Listen to me. Awaken your spirit. Arise in your spirit. Isaiah 61, arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. It won't always be the way it is. Change is about to happen for you. God bless you.
You've been in tune to Upward Way. Do join us again next week, and we'll have another interesting guest sharing his or her story of faith. Subscribe to weekly episode on the Apple AWR, Loud Voice, Spotify, or Podcast Guru apps. Of course, you're welcome to visit Upward Way Facebook page. Click like, leave a comment. And if you feel impressed to donate to the ministry, then you can. Until then, I'm Marlon Walters saying goodbye. May God bless you.
You've been listening to the Upward Way podcast, the number one audio production show for people who want encouragement and reassurance in a muddled world.